Peace.
Hey, Katie.
Hi, Teresa.
The opposite of peace. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, mate.
Hello.
It's a beautiful Tuesday afternoon.
I'm so fucking sunburnt on my arms and shoulders.
Oh, okay, girl. I love running that. A million miles.
I ran yesterday, so I had some color, but today the sun was fucking bumping out there today. So I was like, yeah. I should have probably put sunblock on, but I was like, I'm not going to. And off I went.
Next time.
I didn't like leave my house last summer because pregnancy is not for the week when you are in any type of warmth. I don't care if it's 70 degrees. 70 feels like 80 when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
So I think I literally because I used to live right next to Teresa. And in the complex, it has like a nice perimeter with like the sidewalk. We would let Leah go outside until her grandparents picked her up. So that was the only time I left my house. We're talking 7 a.m.
It was a real, like, I feel like it was very hot last July, yeah. Too. Like, I remember, like, coming to, like, spend, like, time with you. And because, like, Tom was, like, golfing or at softball or something. And you just being like, yeah, no, like, we can't leave the apartment.
No, like, we can't leave. The two times that I left once, I went for a quick run. And by quick, I mean, I think I made it a half a mile in and I stopped quickly and thought I had heat stroke to the point where I stood fully clothed in a shower with cold water beating down on me, telling Tom to call the doctor immediately because I couldn't feel the baby. And I was like, I overheated for sure. Like, I felt like really woozy. I was eating grapes because, like, with food, it typically makes the baby move. And he'd be like, you're fine. I'm like, you need to go right now because I couldn't feel a move. And then I took a quick walk once or a half a mile and again proceeded to call my father and be like, you need to stay on the phone with me. I think I'm going to have a fucking stroke. He's like, what the fuck are you doing?
just
for a quick little walk. Like, not like we're talking like a stroll. Like, you're not walking fast. You know, so I didn't leave the house.
Yeah, no. Well,
scarred from then on out.
This is your first summer not being pregnant. I mean, like, you got pregnant with Leah in August, but I feel like your first completely pregnancy-free summer in
years.
2 years.
Yeah. I think in 2023 I was.
Oh, true. Not pregnant. When you had Leah,
But I still had a baby. So
you had a very small baby at the time.
So we didn't really go outside. So yeah, I feel like I haven't, like, actually I haven't had my like jean shorts since 2022. So like, I don't even know what they look like. I couldn't tell you where they're actually in my in-laws attic. I was like, it's time to go through those because those are probably outdated.
Yeah, no, I need to go through all my summer clothes. I need to buy new jean shorts. I want to buy a few pairs of like cute linen shorts.
Yeah. Who wants to work?
Yeah, I need to just do a haul.
Same. I'm
I need
you.
To unhaul and then refill.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite things to do. So I'm looking forward to that. But today, okay, so we're here to talk about Great Big Beautiful Life by Emily Henry, which I feel like has the internet divided. And yes. I don't want to say that this podcast is also divided, but we definitely have varying opinions and feelings overall with this book.
So I'm gonna start for a second because I very much feel a lot stronger about this book than Teresa does. I will say, and I want to know if you feel the same way too. This gave me Seven Husbands vibes.
Yeah,
but there was romance.
Yes,
and I do think, and I think because we talked about this via text, I think this could have not had romance, and it would have been a stellar book with the addition of a bit more about like the story itself.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, I think that the reason why I didn't love this book as much as you, or like just in general, is because I didn't care about the romance. Like, I didn't care about the Alice and Hayden storyline whatsoever. I kind of, like, really didn't even, like Hayden. Like, he was fine, but he was very, like, whatever to me. And I've never felt that way about any of Emily's leading men. And I think maybe it would have been too much then, like, the Seven Husbands, if we just had, like, Alice as the journalist who was there to write the story about Margaret, and it was more of like the – I was looking for more of the Margaret storyline, and I wanted more of the Margaret and Cosmo relationship versus, like, I just didn't care about the Hayden Alice portion of the book.
So I will say,
yeah.
It's not that I didn't care about the Alice Hayden. I did enjoy them. I actually think, I feel like he played a really good part for what she was trying to do with the story. Mm-hmm. And even though, like, he was, I think because he's not your typical leading male for an M. Hen type of book, right? Like, he's not front and center. He is, like, almost a side character as a main character. Mm-hmm. And I think he's, like, to me, he served the purpose of keeping, like, the storyline going and watching. Then Alice tried to, because she wants this Margaret story, right? This could be huge for her. He's already huge. So, yeah. Like, this is something that she's, like, grappling for. I also feel like it gets her, could potentially, in her mind, get her recognition with her mother for, like, finally doing something good and big in her eyes and worthy. But then he also has the spin, of course, as to why she was even there. So, I don't know. Like, I get what you're saying, but, like, I feel like he, like, the book almost kind of, like, was like he was in the center of it and everything was happening around him, but he had to be the peg in the middle.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
When I first start, I knew that there was going to be obviously, like, a twist, and I was like, mm-hmm. one of these two characters is obviously has some kind of, like, relation to Margaret.
Yeah.
And I feel like, again, if you just, like, say you just, like, take Hayden out of it, where I thought that this was going to go was I thought that one of them, either Alice or Hayden, I didn't expect Hayden to be Margaret's grandson. I thought one of them was, like, in direct relation. Sorry, there's so many characters.
Yeah, so many.
Her great-grandfather.
Remember the one who was Lawrence, mean and, like, killed? Yeah. Yeah.
When he leaves, like, he does, like, this whole thing in order to, like, basically have a better life for his sister, who he's, like, watching starve, essentially. And then, like, he becomes estranged from her because she ends up marrying the guy's brother who he fucks over.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, Margaret, like, makes a comment, like, oh, like, since then there's been, like, the curse, like, the family curse, blah, 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 whatever. So I thought, like, Margaret was, like, I thought that either Alice or Hayden was, like, from that, like, that family line.
Okay.
And that she was, like, trying to, like, right a wrong by, like, giving them, like, a happy end, like, something. And I was like, oh, okay, so she's trying to break, like, the bad family curse, like, the Ives family curse. That was obviously not the case. But that's just where I thought it was going, though, because they kind of, like, mentioned this and then, like, oh, the family curse. And then, like, nothing.
Nothing ever kind of comes of this curse, yeah. But in reality, yeah, I mean, like, Margaret is living her own curse. Like, and I actually enjoyed this, because I feel like, even, like, look at Britney Spears, right? Like, she was, I'm not comparing the two, but, like, she was huge, right? Like, everyone knew Britney Spears. Like, she was the it girl. Mm-hmm. But, like, behind closed doors, now that we've, like, learned more, we still don't have the full story. But, like, you see her now and have heard what she's gone through. And, like, it wasn't all fucking glitz and glamour for this girl. Like, even though she was raking in millions, like, all this stuff, people could look and be like, wow, she has it so good. But in her mind, maybe she, besides, sure, money couldn't even buy her anything because it was tied up with somebody else. Like, so it's not all glitz and glamour. So that's why I really liked the Margaret story. But I didn't even focus. I thought, like, to me, like, she was living her own curse already. So,
yeah. And then oh, no, sorry. You can keep going.
No, you go.
I was saying, and then I thought, so when we find out that the Cecil, the doctor slash rum, like, rum house owner or whatever, I honestly thought, I was like, oh my God, Cosmo faked his death. They've been living, they've all been, like, living in secret in Georgia. Because, again, like, Margaret makes a comment, like, oh, I promised him before he died that I would do that, like, I would, like, you know, tell my story. So I was like, oh, so, like, they've been, like, living in secret together.
That's a good thought too.
And he recently passed away. So I was like, oh, okay, like, we're gonna get more and then, like, when he really is dead, I was like, I was really, like, living, like, I wanted more of Cosmo Sinclair. That was, like, he's the love interest that I wanted in this book. Like,
oh my God,
I needed more of that.
again, I kind of liked his story too. Like, he's like this it guy, and then he gets wrapped up with the Ives, kind of gets like a bad light and bad rep a bit. And then, like, I liked the whole he wanted a kid, she didn't want a kid, then they thought that they were pregnant. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Margaret lies to us when she's like, it just ended up being appendicitis. Yeah. Very Diana, Princess Diana moment with the car accident running from the paparazzi that hit. But I actually thought at first the doctor and Margaret had an affair because he was there.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, oh, wait, shit. Is this going to like, is this going to take an interesting spin? But I was like, I don't think M. Hem would do such a thing. But it was quite liked, interesting.
I thought it like, I mean, I like, that's the thing. Like, everything that I really liked about this book, I was like, oh, it had everything to do with Margaret's storyline. Like, I love that her sister accidentally joined a cult and had to be like rescued from this cult. Like,
yeah.
Like, it was, I mean, like, it's really, I love like the story of like how her parents met and how her dad, like, you know, they were the great big loves of each other's lives, but like how her dad could like never get over his own shit to just like be a good loving husband. And like,
yeah,
I just found Margaret's life so incredibly interesting. That, like, I felt like when I was with Alice and Hayden, I was like, oh my God, leave the diner, go back to Margaret's house. Like, let's get more. I need more. I need to learn more about the Ives. Like, I was in. Like, I was like, I need an Eat Your Hollywood story. I need, like, I need it.
No, I'm with you on that. Like, I could have read 500 pages on just Alice and Margaret, but I don't know. There is something to me that, like, again, I'm not going to sit here and profess my love for Hayden because but I feel like that wasn't his purpose. Like, he wasn't there for us to swoon over him. He was there for a storyline. Like,
yeah.
And I kind of like that. At the end, because like I had to like mull it over, and I was like, wait, that's actually fucking genius, right? Like, she wants to meet this kid because this is her last tie to her sister, and her sister was absolutely everything, right? Like that was her entire life. Besides Cosmo. And she lost her over, like, she even admits it. She's like, I wasn't even mad at her at a certain point anymore. It just was like time had gone past and like she wasn't there for me. So tis what it is. Like, she's just gone. So like, how ingenious to kind of fake a story to see if he would eventually follow, because like to this kid who kind of already has this Pulitzer Prize and like everything else, like if he didn't really want the story to begin with, until there was something to like fight for, that's when he was like, all right, sure, I'll give it a shot. But like, how, like, but so fucked up for poor little Alice, who just wants to better her career and herself. But I also felt like on the flip side, like, what a good push to then have to almost confront her mother as well. And I think that could be so relatable for so many people, because even if you like, you could love someone, just not understand them. So if you don't understand them, you don't want to communicate to them. And one person of that party could feel so like, I'm not good enough. Like, but that's not the case. It's just, I don't know how to fucking talk to you because like, you're so much like this person and I don't know how to, you know, whatever with that person. So it's like, reflection.
I think that the book in general, like, really does a good job of like dealing with like different like family dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I mean, between the entire Ives family, there's crazy dynamics. Even between Hayden and his family, we don't really know a lot about them. We know that his dad is like the mayor of a small town, and that the family was kind of in the public eye. That put a lot of pressure on his mom, who we find out obviously is Margaret's biological daughter. And then how that like really shaped him and the way he is. And a lot of people get the wrong impression of him because he's very cold at first, because he feels like he has to put on this like very like stony front, because he's used to kind of being like picked apart because of his dad's profession. But then you find out he's like kind of like soft and cute and stuff on the inside. And with Alice, she was obviously a lot closer to her dad. Her and Hayden have like a lot of similarities in that they both don't feel good enough for their families. And it's like you said, it's not that Alice's mom doesn't like respect or love her daughter. They don't really understand each other. And her mom does a very poor job of expressing herself. Mm-hmm. So I liked the end. Like, I really appreciated the ending with Alice going there and kind of eventually confronting her, because Alice is a very, like, I think she says at one point, she was like, I try to take almost nothing personally. I could probably afford to take a little bit more personally. And I think that's, like, very Alice. And she does the same thing with her mom, except deep down it pains her that her mom doesn't understand her. But she tries to act like she just, like, lets, like, roll off, like, her back. Like, she tries to act like it doesn't bother her. And I love that Hayden calls her out. And it does obviously cause a fight between the two. But he's like, just admit that it upsets you and pisses you off that your mom doesn't care about your job. And it means so much to you and it hurts you.
Yeah, just fucking say it. Like, that's – so, again, shedding light on, like, something I think – I don't know if I want to say it's, like, this generation, but the toxic positivity that people try to spin so much, especially, like, in this day and age, like, there's so much fucking shit going on in the world. Like, we're an interesting generation. We're, like, we're on the cusp of internet, but not. So, like, we have best of both worlds, right? Like, mm-hmm. we remember a time when there wasn't, like, we weren't all glued to cell phones, but, like, now we are. We're all in fucking debt because life is fucking expensive. We all had to go to school to these fucking insane colleges, and we all probably have jobs in different fields and what we studied. Most of us had to go get masters and more. So it's like we're in this, I don't know, I feel like to get through, people started creating this like, this is all fucked up, but it's so fine. Like, no, it's not fine. Let's call it how it is. This is not okay. Like, let's just say it. Like, let's admit that this fucking blows for all of us and let's move on. So I very much feel like, I was like, yes, Hayden, we should start doing this. Like, stop just being like, it's totally fine that you don't understand me. Like, let's just, I'm just going to keep reaching out and whittling myself down even further to be more annoyed. But we're going to cover it up because it's all fine. Like, no, let's say it.
And, like, I get it to an extent. I know that, like, Alice didn't want to upset her mom after her dad passed away. But this has been going on for, like, way longer. I think it just got worse after her dad died. And at first, like, when I first read, like, the quote about, oh, I should probably, like, I probably don't take any. I have never, my family, I'm, like, the bitch of the family. I've, like, never once in my life, like, actually, no, that's not true. When I was a lot younger, I used to get, like, really upset because, like, my grandma and my aunt, who I love, they were, like, very opinionated people. And I would, like, they would, like, say things and I would just be like, haha, okay. And then I would, like, literally go upstairs into my room and cry. And then, like, as the older I got, I was like, oh, no. Like, if I don't like what you're saying. And now I'm, like, a little too opinionated and people should probably be a little bit more mean to me. Don't be, because I'm actually really sensitive. But yeah, no, I was laughing. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, Alice, just tell your mom she's being a bitch. Like, just be like, you're being a bitch.
So did you ever, like, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but again, our generation, or maybe it's just because we're, I don't know. You can dissect this for me because I need someone's expertise here. Why is it? Do you ever feel like you have to be the bigger person in every situation? Like, no matter who's doing what on the other side, especially, I mean, I say an adult, but, like, we're adults too. But you know what I mean? Like, older people, I feel like we were taught that you always have to be the bigger person, but sometimes want to be like, listen, I understand I too am an adult, but what gives you the right as an adult to also treat me this way? But then I have to sit here and be the bigger person. Why can't I be petty like you? Because like, how is that fair? How is it fair that I always have to be like, it's like people, those memes for like work too, right? Like you, how do you get rewarded by being a good worker? By getting more work.
More work.
No, bitch. Fucking give work to the person that's doing damn shit. Like, don't give me their work. It's like the same truth.
I completely agree. I feel like that my mom, that was like always my mom saying like, oh, like, you know, just be the bigger person. Let it go.
Same.
And 98% of the time, I really do, because I'm like, it's more energy for me to like really care than to just like not give a shit. But I had like, I mean, you know the story. I don't want to get too into it. But I had like a little, I guess like an issue with a friend around my wedding. And like, I wasn't angry, but I felt like I like in our friendship, like always put forth like 90% of the effort. And so I was like waiting to see if this like one thing they would do, and they didn't. And at first I was like, I should just like let it go and just be the bigger person and like reach out and say blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what? No, like the one time in my life that I'm just not going to do it. And so now we haven't talked in 3 years. So, I think that that just proves that it wasn't, you know, I did the right thing.
It just proves that, yeah, you absolutely did do the right thing because you just, it was one-sided. But yeah, so, but like,
yeah, so
it's just, it's but not, kind of to yeah, so Alice's.
It's not always.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alice, it's not always the right thing to just let things go and be the bigger person. There are times when it's like, okay, like this person, I think you have to know somebody's intentions too. Like her mom, her intentions aren't bad. So let it go a couple times, but the more and more it starts eating at you, you have to say something. And I'm happy that eventually Alice obviously does. And it takes, the catalyst is obviously her finding out from Margaret, or kind of figuring it out, I should say. Margaret doesn't really tell her. Alice kind of figures it out. That Margaret does not have appendicitis. The reason why they're on their way to the hospital when Cosmo dies is because she is pregnant and she's having some cramping and bleeding. And he's insisting that they go to the hospital. She thinks she's okay. They go. Obviously, he dies, you know, in a car accident because of like a paparazzi chase. And she realizes that she cannot raise this baby in this family because everybody in this family is damaged in some real inherent way. So she gives the baby up for adoption. She eventually searches for her, finds her. It's Hayden's mother. And it's the catalyst for Alice, one, leaving, because she's like, I can't tell Hayden, so I can't be with him and have this secret looming over my head. Yeah. And I think it just really makes her realize that having this, I guess, very surface level relationship with her mother is like not worth it.
No.
And that's when she decides that she's going to be open with her, because she's like, why am I going to hold all this in and like basically have this like terrible, like life or terrible relationship that I'm one day going to be unable to fix. She's like looking at Margaret as like, I don't want to be that kind of person.
Well, and like, yeah, like imagine like looking at a woman who she stopped talking to her sister over. Yes, she wasn't there for her. So like, I can understand being mad to a point, but then it got to the point where like time had passed, you stopped talking and it is what it is. So she missed out on a lot of time with her sister. She missed mm-hmm. out time with her niece, which, I mean, Jody, you almost get the vibe that like she loves her because it's like out of obligation yeah. and she's there for her. But like there's no bad blood, but there's no like really good blood there either. So huge miss there. You wanted a baby. And then you got the baby, and then your husband died trying to rush you somewhere to ensure that you and the baby were okay, so missed there. Then you give this baby up for adoption because you don't want her to live in this light like you did, missed uh-huh. there. Now you're old, you've shunned yourself multiple times, and like, so what's your life? Like, you sitting in a house by yourself? Like,
yeah.
She even says it. She's like, I needed to meet him to know if this was all worth it. Like, how sad are those words?
No, it's like, so sad.
Like, I couldn't imagine sitting in a hospital and being like, take the baby because she can't, like, I can't have this. Like, what?
No. And her whole thing is like, oh, I gave my daughter up, like her last piece of, you know, her husband and everything that they wanted together. She gives her up hoping that she'll have a better life. And not saying that she didn't. Like, it sounds like Hayden's mom, like, is good, is great. But she yeah. ended up a little bit in the limelight because of, like, yeah. the government. Like, you know, his dad, like, being mayor or whatever. And then she had very severe anxiety because she didn't. She had, I guess, like, health anxiety, which, like, I know people who have this. And mm-hmm. she was, like, always worried about being sick and not knowing where she came from and not knowing, I guess, if there was any like genetic thing she should be worried. So it kind of spiraled and she ended up having like a little bit of a nervous breakdown. Hayden says like she's obviously doing well and everything, but and that's just like normal human stuff too. That doesn't, it's just because, you know, even if say Margaret decided to keep her, it doesn't mean that she wouldn't have had some other anxiety or something yeah. else. Like she could have, you know, very well ended up like Margaret's sister and had, you know, a nervous breakdown because of the limelight instead. There's like yeah. a million different things that could have happened. But I think that's like kind of the point of the story. Like every action or inaction you take kind of like ends up being like the sum total of your life at the end.
Yeah.
And Margaret like is looking back and like, was all of this
worth it?
And do I regret it or do I not? And I think by the end, because, you know, in like the epilogue and they're kind of all together and like everyone, I think it's different. I think, you know, now looking back, are there regrets and are there things that they should have done differently? Of course. But I think by the end of her life, eventually she'll be content with it. But I think prior to meeting Alice and Hayden, she wouldn't be.
No. I think at the end of the day, even as she was trying to escape, I think you find out she was, like, you hear that she's jet setting, but that's when she was actually trying to hide.
Yeah.
I feel like it almost turns to a spiral, right? Like, and she admits it fully, too. Like, I know I was crazy, especially after Cosmo died. Like, I wore my wedding dress like, if they're going to start saying things about me, and I think she just went off the deep end, which, I mean, hey.
Yeah.
I kind of don't really fault her, but, like, I think when it came, the sister was a huge catalyst moment, but I think finally giving up that baby mm-hmm. and then having like Jody come back into it, like shit all comes back around, right?
Yeah.
Like once it's gone, like something always comes back. But like I think she probably took a look at her life after Jody knocked on her door and she was probably like, what? Like, what have I, like, I've just been sitting in this fucking dead cold mansion by myself.
Yeah.
Like what, like, and then yeah, you give up this baby. And, like, thinking about the small moments of just having, like, a two-year-old. She's two. That's it. Like, and there's already been, like, so much that has happened. So, like, I can only imagine, like, the reflection you have at an old age when you are starting to die out. It's like, yeah. I would have really loved to have a little bit more. Oh, my God. I'm getting so many pings. I would have loved to have, like, some insight into, like, Jody and Cecil, though. Like,
same.
That's daddy and daughter. Like,
and like, okay, so we know that he owns the restaurant and he's like he's not the actual mayor, but like he is like the mayor. Like, you know what I mean? Like everyone knows him, everybody loves him. He like is throwing himself half birthdays, like the whole town is coming out. But we know that he was like a very like I guess like a very good doctor.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, I'm like, did he just like give up his like medical license or like after he retired, did he open? Like, I want more Cecil. Like, I thought he was fun.
He was so fun. I'm kind of with you. Like, he obviously went overseas. I bet you he still acted as doctor, obviously, but then that morphed into love. I bet you he probably said, F this, I'm done at some point. Cause you do have to, I'm sure you do retire at some point. And he's living his best life drinking fun little drinks that are blue in color and
and throwing himself like, birthday parties in July. Yeah. Like he's just honestly, let's all be Cecil when we grow up. Like he's living the dream. His name is Cecil, right? I'm not just like making
that
up.
I think so. Yeah. But like, I would like to understand a bit more of like, does he have interaction with Margaret? Does he have an interaction with Jody? Like, I would have to but that's like the other thing too. Like, you never see Jody with him unless they're a little bit more secretive. But at this point, Margaret's been so far out of the limelight that, like, she says herself, "I'm not this young girl anymore." So, like, at a certain point, not that people don't care about you, but like, you're not the it girl anymore. There's someone else a lot younger than you that's the it girl. So
yeah, I feel like most people would just be like, oh my God, you know who you look like? You look like Margaret Ives. And she'd be like, yeah, no, I used to get that all the time.
All
like,
the
she's
time.
Like an 80 something year old woman now. Like people, I feel like people would just assume that she like resembled an older version of somebody that they knew when they were young.
How many people are going to notice her being 80? Like maybe people are 10 to 20 years older, but they're probably not there. So
and that's, I mean, literally, like, I mean, I want to assume that, but I'm like, oh, like, Elizabeth Taylor was always, like, you would know her.
Everyone knows
in a heartbeat. Like, like, you know what I mean? Like, you would know her in a heartbeat. So, I mean, again, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But I just, that's another, you bring up the Jody thing. Like, so Jody is there, and then all of a sudden she's, like, kind of missing, and Margaret's like, oh, like, they basically, like, niece and aunt, like, they had, like, a little tip, whatever, and Jody just, like, was like, I'm getting out here, I need a break, but where does she go? Because, like, oh, she just went to her dad's, maybe?
I kind of almost wish we had, like, a Jody and Alice run-in one day.
Yeah.
Like, an interaction where maybe Jody starts to, I don't want to say divulge, but leave breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
Even if it like led to Cecil in a way, like the breadcrumb was that picture that Hayden found. I'm saying Hayden.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I love this story so much that I would have taken any angle I could have gotten. I'm with you. I would have taken, you could, honestly, I think this was a 5 billion star book to me. This, I loved this so much that on release day, I bought multiple copies and dropped books off to people so they can read it because I loved it so much. But I would have, I think she could have added more of that in and even removed the romance. And I think I still would have felt the same way because I loved like, the Alice Margaret story. Like that is what sold me on this.
So what makes an Emily Henry book so amazing for me specifically, and I feel like for most of her fans and readers, is the fact that she can give you this most like an epic love story, but also really fill the book with a good hearty plot. I think that is why I don't love this one as much as I loved her others, because I loved the plot. I didn't love the love story, which is okay.
Oh my God.
It just wasn't, I think, and I also, because I love her so much, I hold her to such a high standard that I'm like, oh, was this a good book? Yes. Was it Emily Henry in my head? Like, was it to her level? No. And it's not because.
So that's why, like.
It's not because of the romance. I don't mean to cut you off. Yeah.
Oh, are we on a delay? Because I was like, keep going. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, I heard you, but I'm just rambling. Okay.
No, I get it. Because, like, I can see that point, but, like, I think to me, like, I think with the romance, I don't think she wrote it to be an epic romance. Like, I think she wrote this romance because it's almost, like I was saying, like, Hayden is the peg. But on the flip side, I can understand why M. Hen fans come back to M. Hen books because she writes those epic romances. Yeah. So I think if you haven't listened to it, I mean, spoilers all throughout this podcast, but if maybe you go in with the attitude of, or the mindset of, this is not going to be an epic love story, that might help an outcome.
Yeah, I think, and again, I think that's, I mean, I think I'm just being a brat.
You're allowed to have your own opinions. Yeah, like,
no,
this.
I either just like wanted like no love, I just either wanted no romance whatsoever and just, well, right. Like that's just that's just what I would have wanted from the story, but I still liked it. Like,
yeah. I think it's like the Abby Jimenez, right? One, right? Yeah. Like we felt opposites where you were like, no, I thought this was great. I was like, I couldn't stand I didn't need this romance. Like it was kind of like the same aspect, right?
The exact same thing. So like, yeah, like I liked it. I would recommend this book a million times over. If I'm ranking it amongst the other Emily Henry books, it's my least favorite, but like, it's like saying like, you're like, I almost say like your least favorite child. You're not supposed to ever say it. But like saying it's my least favorite doesn't mean that it's bad, which we say all the time. I just wanted to, I know why that I texted you about this. I just want to bring up Hayden's appearance really quick because, okay, I know that Emily Henry didn't write this as a Raylo fanfic or like anything, but his like description is giving me Adam Driver, and I made the joke, I'm like, oh my god, who knew that M. Hen was working on a Raylo fanfic with like little like baby Alice and then Hayden. She goes, I hadn't noticed how attractive he was before, and I'm not totally sure what it is that makes him so. He's nowhere near symmetrical. His eyes are small, his mouth is wide, and his nose looks like it's been broken at least once and not properly set. And I don't know why, I was just like, oh, so Adam Driver. And like he has like a little bit of like longer hair. I was just picturing Adam Driver and I was like, now I can't unsee this.
That's so funny. Yeah, no, I think this was a good one. It's funny though, because I think unfortunately for myself, it put me into this, I can't find something that's like quenching my reading thirst in like for this. Like I love to say, like if you're listening to this and you have not heard of The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, you need to read it. It's fucking phenomenal. Very much the same journalistic aspect. I bought it for my sister-in-law. She's literally like, why haven't I ever read this? I was like, I don't know, Nicole, why haven't you ever read this? She's obsessed, but like I'm on a hunt for more journalist aspect books. A Daisy Jones and the Six, if you will. Like I'm looking for a read like that and I can't get my hands on anything. I can't find anything.
So if you have any recommendations, send them Katie's way.
Yeah, seriously, please do.
I'm trying to think of like what else. Like, I feel like there was so much and I was like, oh, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this. And then now I can't think of anything. Because I feel like we really
I think we really banged this one down pretty.
We really did. Oh my God. I mean, I have so many things highlighted too, which is so funny for me to be like, oh, whatever. Yeah. I mean, again, if you, her writing is so beautiful. Like she can write, she writes great dialogue. She writes great characters. She writes great plot. She writes a great story. This to me, because like every one of her other books is in basically either like being turned into a TV show or a movie. This would be a great like mini series. And I feel like I've been saying that a lot about certain books, but I feel like this would just be done so well. So it, as far as my Emily Henry ranking goes now, top to bottom. So my favorite is Beach Read, 100%, Happy Place, Funny Story, Book Lovers, People Meet on Vacation, and then Great Big Beautiful Life. But now I'm like dying for next year because I'm like, okay, now I want her next book.
Well, yeah, duh. I haven't done a reread of M-Hem books like you have. So I feel like right now, like this is my favorite, followed by Book Lovers. And I know I really liked Beach Reach. I'm the weird person that really enjoyed People We Meet on Vacation.
No, I really enjoyed it. Just like I really enjoyed this one. I just didn't enjoy it as much as the others.
I can hear that. Like, I feel like Funny Story might be my least favorite, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I owe myself a reread.
I think you do. I think you really do. Because a lot of, like, I do. I mean, you know this. We talked about this before. Happy Place. I liked my first time. I loved my second time.
I really enjoyed Happy Place when I was listening to it.
I rated it 5 stars from the beginning, but like,
yeah.
Okay. So off topic now, because we're moving on and we'll talk about what's coming, which we have no idea, but we both read Left of Forever by Tara DeWitt a long time ago. Not to brag, guys. We read like one of the first drafts, I think. And, anyway, I have the audio arc from NetGalley and I started it and I texted Tara. I was at the gym. I was like literally on the Stairmaster and I was like, I have full body chills. I am personally more of an eyeball reader. I like the experience of like creating and like making, like, not that you can't create it in your head when you're listening to the audio, but I think I like that I can come up with how I think the dialogue is. Instead of like, I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Long story short, the Left of Forever audio is so good. It's like adding another layer to the story. And that's kind of how I felt about Happy Place, where I loved it the first time, 5 stars. But like the audio is like elevating it. And I feel like there are certain audiobooks that I'm like, this is phenomenal. You have to read this book via audio. But most of the time, I mean, you guys know me. I do a lot of rereads via audio. So I feel like it takes a lot for me to be like, oh, it was elevated. The Left of Forever audio so far has like turned it up a notch.
Okay. That's good to know. I haven't. Yeah. I feel like it's been 8 million years. So again, that's a book I want to reacquaint myself with. So I'll put it on my list.
Yeah. So that does come out in May. So hopefully we'll be able to talk to Tara maybe sometime in June. We're going to try to work on that. There's a lot coming out in May. We are going to be interviewing, well, you know what? We don't have anything expressly on the schedule yet, so I don't want to say anything. Next week, we'll just do a regular old spilling the tea, and then stay tuned for our calendar, which will come out within the next week or so.
Perfect.
But on that note, sorry for the technical difficulties, you guys. And Katie Jean, can you please send us out.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.